only got 45 minutes. We all know I'm long-winded. So I'm going to call it some things about the kingdom of God. And I was telling Brother Scotty, I think it was last Sunday, before I get real deep into this, I told April, God gives me things sometimes that I've known about all my life. When Brother Scotty says head knowledge and heart knowledge, I'm going to give you an example. Y'all all know my testimony. I was raised in church. I've seen and heard a lot of preaching, teaching. My dad exposed me to a lot of scripture, a lot of study stuff. I had a lot of head knowledge. I say a lot. I had some head knowledge. And I'd heard these things that I'm going to talk about today. I've heard them all my Christian life. Now, of course, when I wasn't living as a Christian and I was not born again, they didn't mean nothing to me much. But when God made them revelation, I would just, yee-haw, I was at work. And my truck makes a real loud noise. I have to wear earplugs when it's unloading. And I was yelling. I didn't care who heard me if it hadn't been making loud noise. And I was praising God because Holy Spirit came up inside of me and made this word revelation to me. In other words, what it means, he made me glad to receive this word. It was joy. And that's part of what born-again people have that the lost people don't have. That's the source of your hope in Jesus Christ. But this morning, before we go any further, I'd like for us to pray for Brother Scotty and Sister Teresa this morning and their whole family. So if you bow your heads, please. Father God, thank you once again, Lord, to come together with my brothers and sisters, Lord, and to worship you, Father God, and exalt you and lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as the attacks come against us, Lord, we lift up Brother Scotty and Sister Teresa, Brother Travis and Beth, and Aubrey and Little Aiden, Lord. Father God, we stand in agreement with them, Lord, and we cast down these attacks coming against them, Lord. And Lord, I go one further, Lord, we stand in agreement with each and every person, Lord, in our congregation. We have our other attacks and different attacks come against us, Lord, but I stand with them, Lord, according to your word, Father God, that you've given us. Lord, and according to your word, Father God, and the authority in the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us. And I thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. And I thank you most of all for the gift that you've given us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me today, Lord, to speak, Father God, with your words, with clarity, Lord, to lift up the Son, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, the revelation the Lord give me, I'm going to try to explain it, because when I told April, bless her heart, I love her with all my heart, but sometimes I tell her stuff, she's like, okay. And I'm over here like, yeehaw, woohoo, thank you, Lord, glory, hallelujah. And I said, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's, yeah. And then I have to stop and think, and she looks at me, she gives him this look like, what's wrong with you? I understand it, but, you know, I want everybody to feel like I'm feeling, but I understand that every time that the Lord gives me something, everybody's not going to understand. I'm excited about it this morning. So, you know, if y'all look at me like, what's wrong with you, Brother Monty? I don't know what to tell you, except the Lord made it so real to me, again, that it makes me happy. That's all I know to say, is it makes me happy. We're going to start out reading in Psalms chapter 118. Verses 21 through 23. And I'm going to read a lot in the Amplified. And to save a little time, I'm probably going to read it in the Amplified. At least some of it. I'm going to read this in Amplified. And I'm fairly sure this is David that wrote this. We don't have any confirmation of that. But he wrote a lot of the Psalms in the book of Psalms. It says, I will confess and praise and give thanks to you, Father God. For you have heard and answered me, and you have become my salvation and deliverer. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He's talking about Jesus here. This is from the Lord and is his doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. When you're born again, and this is not marvelous in your eyes, for your own sake, please get before the Lord. Because I have heard it. I have read it. I have studied it. I know it up here. But when it gets down here, it becomes marvelous in our eyes. And when it gets in our eyes, I'm just going to use eyes because it's what it says. It really means heart because it's going this way. And praise God. When I see the things going on today, I don't watch much news. My extent of news, I get carried away on Facebook watching reels, you know them? Them little short videos. And I see some stuff and I think, well, maybe it's real, maybe it ain't. But if half of it is real, the prophecies that's about to come about, it should really mean something to the body of Christ. But it says here, it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, I want you to see something interesting, just as a side note. In verses 24 and 25, it says, "This is the day which the Lord has brought about. We will rejoice and be glad in it." We all hear this a lot. But it's talking about the day that the chief cornerstone has come about. Without the chief cornerstone, the foundation can't be built. And we've been hearing a lot about foundation, about starting the building, and how God's starting it for us. Now verse 25 says, now this is for Brother Scotty, because it says, I'm going to read this in the King James Version. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Our pastor he has been anointed to preach prosperity. Not how to get rich quick. Not how to become the number one most powerful person in your community in the way the world sees it, but to get true prosperity from our Lord Father God in heaven. But that was for him, because I love him. A lot of people I see on Facebook talk against him when he even speaks about it. And a lot of people, you know, I have talked personally to one person that quit going to church here because they're tired of hearing about money. Brother Scott don't preach about money. He preaches about the blessing to obtain wealth through the Lord and the prosperity of the Lord, which of which the money is the least. If you want that, if that's the head of your list, then you're going to have to put it at the bottom and start at the top. And the top of the list is the kingdom of God. Now, go to Isaiah 28:16. I started not to start with these scriptures, but this is the foundation of the chief cornerstone, in whom is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation. And God is, this is the prophecy of what God is going to do and has already started. If I quit talking where I can read. Isaiah 28:16. I'm going to read this in the King James and then the Amplified. King James says, "Therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Now, to help just a little bit with the translation understanding, I'm going to read that in the Amplified. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a previous cornerstone of sure foundation. He who believes, trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give away or hasten away in sudden panic." And in these scriptures, in this particular Bible, and it should be in everybody's, stone is capitalized. And in prophecy, when God speaks about Zion, he's talking about Jerusalem, children of Israel. And in particular, he's speaking, of course, about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice what he says. A tested stone. What happened to Jesus right as he started his ministry? He was tested. Tested more than any of us will ever be tested. Longer, harder, in all the categories. It says in 1 John that all the lustful desires, which are strong desires, are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the pride of life. On all things, you can put in those categories, no matter what it is. And if you sit back and think about it, I thought about that one time for a pretty good while. So what about this? Well, that falls under this. What about this? Well, yeah, that could fall under that. Those three categories, Jesus was tried in all of them. And he was victorious. And you might say, well, he was Jesus. He was the Son of God. He was Jesus. You notice he calls himself the Son of Man. You know why he does that? Because he's a man. Now, he don't become the title the Son of God until after the ascension, although he is the Son of God. But he receives the title of Son of God after his birth, his ministry, his living, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and ascension. Now he is the glorified, all-powerful Son of God that he was prophesied of. Now, we're going to go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 21. And this is where, this is actually, I was thinking about one subject, and I'm like Sister Teresa, it's not funny, but it's unusual how you be thinking about something, and it was a biblical subject. And it turned in to one of the verses I was reading at the time, turned into this revelation. I read up a couple of verses, and this is what caught my eye. And it's just unusual, because I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about, you know, the signs of the times of the days that we're living in compared to the signs of the times of Noah and Lot and all the things whenever God brought judgment against the world. But God had me read on up, and when I read this verse right here, these verses, then that's what God started revealing to me, all of this. We're going to read in Matthew 21 and 42. Let me find my place. No, this is not actually that scripture. These verses, I got a little ahead of myself. Jesus is talking about his kingdom here in these verses. In chapter of 21, verse 42, he says, he's talking to the Pharisees and the rulers of Jerusalem. And they were pushing him about God's kingdom. When shall we see God's kingdom? And he tells them, well, actually, he gives them a parable of how it's going to be, and I'm not going to get into that parable for time's sake. He tells them, did you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, what did we just read? The same exact thing, almost word for word. And then the next verse says, the Lord pointed this out to me, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's mighty right there. He's talking to the Jewish people. We all know that Jesus came and ministered and was to be offered the gift of salvation to the Jewish, the Israelites first. And he's talking to them because what have we been hearing for 14 weeks now? About the Word. He has given them the Word. This is the very beginning of it. And they're rejecting it. And just like the Scripture said, as we read, they're going to reject the cornerstone. They're going to reject Jesus. So Jesus is telling them, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Yeah, that's us. That's exactly us. Praise God. We are the kingdom of God. God started it with Jesus, who is the first fruits of many brethren. I don't know where that scripture's at, but I've read it. All this come flooding in on me whenever I had this, and I think I forgot to write down some of the key verses I wanted to use, but praise God, I can say it anyway. Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, the kingdom will come. And now they asked him, so what is the sign that we shall see God's kingdom? And this is the verse I forgot to write down. Don't matter, because I remember reading it. It's in there. Y'all find it, Brother Scotty says. He says, when the kingdom of God comes, I'm going to paraphrase, it won't be this place or that place. It won't be this building. It won't have a sign, because the kingdom of God is inside you. And he's ministering, he's telling the people this. So therefore, what have we been hearing? The Word. Why do we need the Word? Number one, God's building his kingdom. It starts with the Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word was, in verse 14, was flesh and dwelled among us. That's Jesus. That's how we get in the kingdom. And we have been told, and rightly so, when you get in the kingdom, what are you supposed to do? What did you say right here? God took away the kingdom at that time, being taught to the Jewish people, and give it to a nation who will bring forth fruits. That is what we're supposed to do. Bring forth fruits. Your number one fruit is when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, become born again, and you did. After that, it falls into categories Paul talked a lot about. I don't have near enough time. Sister Teresa has been had 14 weeks talking about this. She ain't got past the third category yet. I mean, if you want some description, go to, I think it's Ephesians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. That's some stuff there. But it goes a lot deeper than that. When God created His kingdom, He didn't create it with buildings. Now, you see, I'm not talking down on them. It is great and wondrous thing that God gives people blessings to build great buildings in His name to honor Him. But that ain't what honors Him. He gave the Israelites a covering for their sin through the sacrifice of animals and blood until He couldn't stand it no more. Of course, to us, that was a long time. To Him, it was not a long time, but He couldn't stand it. He says, I'm paraphrasing, He was tired of smelling the smoke of the sacrifices of the shedding of blood. So He sent one that would cover it all forever for everybody, past, present, future. And that blood is righteous. That blood will sustain. That blood, whenever you apply it to your life, will cause you to want to bring forth fruit to please Him. Now, I posted a thing on Facebook, and this is the way God's Word supports it. When you're born again, one of the first fruits, that, like I said, is you use your faith. You believe that your sin is unholy and you're guilty of it. And you go to God, and you don't only say, I'm sorry. You ask forgiveness for the sin that you were born into the world. Now, I'm not talking about committed sin. I'm talking about indwelling sin. I got to do the teenage class back there one day, and I showed them a little example with food color. Dipped my finger in the, I made black. I don't know how I did it, but I did it. And I dipped my finger in it. That's what it's like whenever you're born in this world. You've got that black stain of sin in your life. Nobody can escape it. It was introduced in the world. It has power over you until you become born again. And then I showed them, I took red and dipped it in it. Now, physically, it don't cover up the black like I wanted it to, but I told them, I said, you get the idea. I put it further up my finger. It covers the black. That's the blood of Jesus in their life. Now, this thing that God gave me is not just only about being born again. We've got so many steps after that that we'll spend a lifetime, if we'll follow God's Word, especially you younger folks, you'll spend a lifetime following God's Word, taking those steps, being obedient. One of the biggest things in my life that has hurt me, that cuts my heart, I'm not per se what the world calls a man's man. They don't, nothing get to me. Things get to me. I don't, you know, get my feelings hurt real easy. I don't cry much because I was taught man don't do that, but it's all right for a man to cry. But one of the things is, if I think about it, that really hurts me is I wasted so many years with head knowledge not serving God, and He allowed me to live. If he could have just left me to my own doing, thinking I was born again and I was going to be okay, and if I'd have kept on going down the path I was going, I don't think I'd have lived as long as I'm living today. But He allowed me to live. That's His grace. That's His love. Until the time that the Holy Spirit worked on me and the Holy Spirit said, hey, you remember what Brother Ed Ballou said? You remember what your Sunday school teacher said? You remember what your dad taught you? And there'd be times in my life I couldn't think, why am I feeling these things? I know about these things. But whenever I got really down by myself and got thinking about it, I said, well, if I die, am I going to go to heaven? And my mind's always been a logical creature. I used it for logic. If it's logical, okay, it makes sense. If not, it don't make sense. But in my mind, how can you live like hell and have your life living in hell and not have anything in your life that pertains to God and fruit? But one thing say, oh, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and you die and go to heaven. That's not my subject either. That's something you better ask yourself. Because it got me in thinking in such a state that I said, I need to make sure. Well, y'all all know the story. One thing led to another, and we ended up in this church. And the Holy Spirit was with me right back there on that last row on this side. And he said, now, I can't tell you what was said that day in the sermons. There was a lot of people here. There was barely room for us to sit down. And I can't tell you most of the people that was here, you guys that were here then, I know y'all. But I can tell you the Holy Spirit said, remember what your daddy said. Remember what Brother Ed Ballou said. Remember what your Sunday school teacher said. I couldn't hardly wait for the service to get over. But when I got it, I got it. And the reason I got it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit I allowed to work in my life. The next thing I did was repent. If you don't repent, you're not going to have the fruit of repentance. What's the fruit of repentance? Sister Teresa told Brother Scotty, works worthy of repentance. If you come up and smack me in the face and you say, oh, I'm sorry, God says, I got to forgive you. Okay. I forgive you. And then you turn around and walk 3 steps, come back, smack me in the face again. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to say, what in the world is wrong with you? Especially anybody in this room. Except maybe Sister Teresa. She tells me she tested my faith. I'm going to say, please don't do it again. Anyway, if we live our life in sin, with indwelling sin and committing sin, and we tell God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and we only do it for a season, what word is that? We've been hearing it. It don't stick. You know why it don't stick? Because you ain't got real repentance. Now, when you have real repentance, you have repentance works worthy of repentance. There'll be a change in that person. There was a change in me. Because used to, I could go to church and serve God for maybe a year. And I mean serve, you know, do everything. I'm not going to say everything. Everything I could possibly. And it was a chore. I'm talking about, man, I can't do that. Man, I can't say that. You know, it was almost like a burden. But since April the 20th, 2014, it ain't been a burden. Has it been hard? Sometimes, yes. The reason it's hard is because of where we live, what we have to go through. Being hooked up with God through the Holy Spirit and having the indwelling Holy Spirit with me and Him walking beside me has not been hard for my life. It used to be hard, but you know why? Because I didn't have it. And Lord, this ain't going exactly all where I wanted to go, but anyway. And then after you have works worthy of repentance and you have that change, you will yearn for the fruit. Lord knows. I started going to church here, and I have done a few things in church whenever I was going to church before. But not to, you know, I just said, Lord, I want to do something. You know, yeah, I know I play the guitar here. That's good. I like it. Okay, yeah. But it's not totally fulfilling to me. And everybody knows, yes, April, I love playing guitar. But it don't fulfill in here everything I need for God. So I remember praying, asking God, and y'all heard this story, Lord, you know, give me something to do. When Sister Teresa asked for somebody to do the last Sunday, the Holy Spirit, there you go. I'm thinking, you know, I'm happy. Oh, okay, so I'll go and talk to her and say, okay, we'll pray about it, and it happened. And once again, at times, the act of doing what I needed to do to come and do that Sunday school sometimes was hard. Because sometimes it's my fault. I put it off studying. sometimes the Lord didn't give me nothing. I'd be hunting it, and I wouldn't get it till right before I got here. But at any rate, once I got up here, it was never hard. And then I prayed and said, okay, Lord, I like this. Here I am, Lord. What else you got for me? I'm thinking about, you know, my daddy was, he's like Brother Scott. He was a heck of a man. He got called to preach the same year he was born again when he was 21 or 22. He went out all kinds of evangelistic and preacher fellowships and places like that. He's never a pastor. He preached on the street corner. He preached in jails. He preached on nursing homes. He preached everywhere he went. So I'm thinking along them lines, oh, hallelujah. Well, it wasn't exactly what I wanted. Brother Scotty came up and said, I want to start a men's meeting. Think he can handle it? I said, I'll pray and ask the Lord. And the instant I prayed and asked the Lord about it, I got confirmation. Woo-hoo. So every time you pray and ask the Lord for something, you're really wanting something to do to serve God, that's fruit. That's fruit of the kingdom of God working in you. Now, where do we get this fruit from? What it say in Luke, I'm going to ask you, can anybody in here besides the ones I already talked to, there's two of them, tell us, I just want to see something if I'm the only one, what chapter and book Sister Teresa has been reading out of? What? That'll work. That's good. But she starts in Luke 8. You know how come I know that? Ask April, my memory, my natural man memory is not good. I'm working on it. Lord's helping me. My spiritual memory is almost excellent. But one reason it's excellent is because what have we heard for 14 weeks? Luke 8, Mark 4. I think it's in Matthew also. I always remember Luke 8. I've got it marked in my Bible in my Schofield Study Bible. This is April's Bible I'm using today. It's marked on Luke 8. And every one of them verses are marked. And I did that for a reason, because it clicked when Sister Teresa said, you may hear something one time and it might not sink in. Or it might mean something to you. You may hear it a second time, it might not mean much to you. But praise God, you know, when Lord keeps putting that word in you, some point or another, it's going to mean something to you. And that's what happened to me. And I remember now what it was. Actually, I was looking at the end times, and I told you a while ago, when I looked up the scripture, I don't remember where it's at now, I was looking about the times of Noah, you know, the end times and our time. It's going to be like the times of Noah. And right under it, you know, they asked for the sign of God's kingdom. And that's what's so precious to me. Jesus told them, said, it's not going to be a building. It's not going to be a sign. It's going to be within you. So therefore, if you're not born again, you can't experience the kingdom of heaven on this earth. Number one is you don't have what it takes. And I'm not trying to be judgmental to anybody. I'm telling you what God's word says. When you do get it, every time you hear the word, the sower sows the word. There's word from this holy book right here been sown over thousands of years. And it's been watered on for thousands of years. And we're watering on it some more. And God's given the increase. And every time each and every one of us gets some kind of revelation out of it, it's increasing. Now, we're going to go to Luke chapter 17. Get ahead of myself a little bit. Verses 20 and 21. I might have already said this, but I want to read it. Well, Luke's a long book. And I went to the wrong. Sometimes these parallel Bibles confuse me. Here's what I've been telling you. I didn't forget it. I just didn't have it in order. I wanted to. This, oh, praise God, I can read it now and I can just get happy. Hallelujah. The Pharisees is pushing Jesus. And when he, one of the Pharisees said, when he demanded of the Pharisee, no, Jesus asked him when the kingdom of God should come. Nope, I'm sorry. Did the Pharisees demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now let me read that in the Amplified. Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he replied to them, Jesus said, by saying, the kingdom of God does not come with signs. Did you hear that? Signs to be observed, or with visible display, as in a building. Even though it says Faithway Christian Center, and we are in the kingdom of God, Faithway Christian Center, the building, the land, is not God's kingdom. It is a possession of God's kingdom. And then he says, nor will people say, look, here it is, or see it is. I want to ask you a question. Why did he say, nor will people say, look, here it is, or there it is? Because you can't see it. You can see the fruit of it in us. And he said, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, among you, surrounding you. Now, praise the Lord, when we come to church, as our pastor likes to preach, and I know he's not preaching to us because everybody that's pretty much here today pretty much comes to every church service. But like he says, when they allow us, we're on Facebook, YouTube, and we're on Facebook, so he's got another congregation out there. We have another congregation to minister to. And whenever you go to your job, and whenever you go to your school, youngsters, whenever you go, wherever you go, you have another congregation. Now, it's not the same type of congregation we got. We have a congregation of believers inside this building. At least I know the majority of us are. How? Number one, I see works worthy of repentance. When you have works worthy of repentance, I don't mean to keep going back there, but it's just, it's a key. You're eager. Even if you don't feel like it, you're committed. Even when you don't want to, you're faithful. And I'm not bragging on anybody about except Jesus. He's the only one, whenever he comes in your heart and Holy Spirit, now it's like I spoke before we began, Jesus couldn't stay on earth right now. So he sent us somebody that's the same lordship with the same thing that he has. He's in us. He walks beside us. We don't really need anything else except God's Word. We got God's Word. We got the Holy Spirit in us and Holy Spirit walking beside us. So we hear. We got comfort and we got help. That's the reason Brother Tony Evans said one time, any born-again believer that's truly born again. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you can feel this way, but you got to pick yourself up. You should never, ever, ever, ever feel like you're alone, whether you've got family or friends or nobody. Because I have been in places with my family and with friends and big crowds of people and felt alone, not after I was born again. Now, I have been, after I was born again, by my own will, my own making, felt like nobody knew what I was going through. Sometimes not even God. But that's flesh. That's not the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when you get to that point, if you get God's Word, because number one, if you're truly born again, you ain't going to have no stony ground. You ain't going to have no withering roots without moisture, because we get moisture here all the time. And you're not going to have, if you protect that seed, you're not going to have the cares and persecutions and trials of this world. You'll have them, but they won't, they won't move you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not standing up here saying anything like I'm Mr. Oso, all of that, and a bag of chips. I'm further staying from it sometimes. But I got a good, godly wife that likes to remind me, and I've got the Holy Spirit that says, hey, what April says. okay, Lord. And then I have to go about it a different way. But I found out one thing. If you're talking about Jesus out of your mouth, and you're hearing Jesus out of your ears, and you're looking at Jesus, because Jesus is the Word, any form of that, if you're doing that, you ain't going to have time for any of this other junk coming at you. You ain't going to have no time for withering roots and stony ground and, you know, all of this. It's going to come, but you ain't going to have time for it. So therefore, surround yourself with things that produce fruit, because God seen fit to take away something from His chosen people and give to us. And Paul said, don't be so almighty in your head, I'm going to paraphrase, being in, you know, grafted in the true vine, that you could be grafted out because the one that's the true vine was, you know, cut out and you were grafted in. In other words, the children of Israel were, you know, didn't get what we get. They said, no, we don't want it. So God said, okay, so He grafted in the Gentiles. So Paul's saying, don't get so high and mighty in your so-called Christianity, so to speak, or your religion is a better word. Because if God grafted you in because He ungrafted the chosen people, He can blame sure graft you out. So what do? You seek the fruit. To get the fruit, you got to have the Word. The reason I'm saying this is sometimes we hear stuff over and over and over and over again, just like Sister Teresa, bless her heart. I can imagine what it'd be like. I've stayed on the subject two or three different sessions at a time. She's been doing it 14. And every time she gets up there, she has something and imparted something to me about the Word that has helped me for two reasons. One is she was obedient to the Holy Spirit, and two, I was obedient to the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to hear it. I had a willing heart. I learned something from her. I'm going to tell you this. I did not understand that hearing ears came from a willing heart, and she showed it to us in Scripture. Buddy, I got a hammer now. It's for me first. When my ears, and I'm like, pow, You're going to hear the Word, boy, because I don't want to be the ones when Jesus sounds the trumpet or the angel sounds the trumpet and the rapture takes place, standing down here and said, oh, my Lord, I missed it. I don't want to be that person. I've read enough and heard enough about Revelations. I don't want to be here. It's not going to be good. So you got to have the fruit. Now, we'll go to Ephesians. Nope, that's wrong. Go to Acts chapter 4, verses 11. Now, all of these things that I'm talking about has got to do with Jesus and the foundational stone, the cornerstone. The reason that is so important, it says, I said earlier in Scripture, that Jesus is the first fruits of many brethren. We are the many brethren. Jesus was the first, the foundational cornerstone of the kingdom of God. We are the building stones. Anybody tells you it starts a foundation, you got to have a starting point. In their days, they call that the cornerstone. Some places still do, some don't. But to build what they got to build, they got to have other ones. But there's one that they got to start with. In God's kingdom, the one He starts with is going to be just like all the rest of them. If you don't think you have authority through the Lord Jesus Christ, then why is Jesus the first fruits of many brethren? Anybody, now, it's not that I've ever had a problem with it. I just didn't ever feel like I did, being a born-again Christian. And then I started, what happened? I started hearing the Word, and the Word started coming. And I said, well, if I'm like Jesus, what if you do it and it don't happen? Keep doing it. I mean, if you get up and fall one time, you don't quit walking, do you? If you go to running and trip, you don't quit running, do you? Lord forbid, if you have an accident, you quit driving. Why in the world will Christians quit walking in the Word of God? Because something ain't going the way they think it's supposed to go, even if it don't go where the Word says it's supposed to go. You keep trying. You keep doing it. Anyway, in Acts chapter 4, verse 11, Peter is preaching to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin are the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people here. He said, "There, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for it is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And he's telling us, y'all killed this man. And he goes on and preaches and tells us what happened, but he rose again. Hallelujah. And then they put him in prison for it. And Peter told him and said, they told him to stop doing it. They beat him. He said, well, who are we supposed to obey, men or God? Now, I'm going to go to Acts chapter 17. Wait a minute. Yeah. Did anybody hear, it's been several years ago, Blount County had something that really blessed my heart. I think Redeemed Ministries with some other local help Christians got it going when they had the big church meeting in town. I went to that. And I didn't go just to be seen or be heard. I wanted to see what it was all about. I wanted to, and it changed me. I wanted to see, what's going on here. In other words, I didn't go to be seen. I wanted to see what was going on. Our sheriff, which at the time he was not sheriff, he's standing in his office of a minister, an evangelist, brought this verse up, and it has stayed with me ever since. For time's sake, which I'm about to run out of time, just give you Paul and Silas, I think it says here, was preaching, and Paul had a habit whenever he went to a new city, he'd go in the synagogue because he's usually is in the Jewish realm at the time, kingdom, and preached to them on their Sabbath. And he went 3 days there just preaching to these people. And a lot of people were saved, and a lot of them were not even Jews. They were Gentiles. And there was a big, hoodoo about it. Jewish people didn't like it. And there was a big uproar about it. So they got a bunch of people, just a bunch of bad people, and made a big riot and uproar about it. And they're hunting Paul and Silas. And now, verse 6 says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason, which is one of the brethren, born again brother, and certain brethren, and to the rulers of the city, crying. Now I want you to read this here. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. That's powerful. Not only did they know what was going on there in their city, they had heard about it. These that have come here and that have turned the world upside down has come here also. They're wanting to get them arrested, but it didn't happen all that way. But that was powerful. As a born-again Christian seeking the fruit of God, what should we be doing? Turning the world upside down for Jesus. We'll go to one more. Ephesians 2. Chapter 2, verse 18. I'm about to run out of time. I could keep right on talking. Praise the Lord. Now, like I said, I understand if this ain't all of that to everybody, but it is to me. We're going to read, starting verse 18. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. What is a saint? It's a born again believer. And of the household of God. Now that right there, boy, just that got me good there. The household of God. We're not only brethren, so to speak, in the word. We are true brethren with Jesus, because he lives in God's house as a son, and we're brothers. Now, he's our Lord. I'm not taking away his position. But he give us the gift of being as he is in the household of God and while we live down here. Now, therefore, verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Like I said, I wanted to call this the kingdom of God, but 45 minutes ain't enough to even get started. We've been hearing about the kingdom of God. And even though there've been times that I'd be sitting there on the front row thinking, man, Lord, okay, I got it. No, I didn't have it. I didn't get it till one day last week. And I was praising the Lord when I got it because, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to complain to myself about hearing the same thing again and again. Because I want myself built up into the household of God. If for no other reason to leave my family, because I love them and my loved ones. And I have loved ones. It really woke me up. My sister died because she was raised under everything that I was raised. And I tried to witness to her several times over the last few years, and she would shut me down so quick. And my daddy had told me, said, I tried to witness to her too, Monty. He said, she shuts me down. She just didn't want to hear it. That's not a good sign. That's only two things. Either she's either guilty and the Holy Spirit's calling her, she is born again, or she's not born again and she don't want to hear it. That bothered me. So my prayer is now for my loved ones, I want, you know, if I'm not going to be the one to do it, I want God to send somebody to make this real to them. I want them to inherit the kingdom of God. That's all I got this morning. I'm glad y'all put up with me. So we're recessed till... Go ahead.